The Rod and Staff podcast comes out of the host's passion for Christ and his church. It exists to encourage a deeper engagement with issues that pertain to doctrine and life. Check us out at rodandstaff.org. Welcome to this episode of the Rod and Staff podcast. I'm your host, Jason, with my co-host and good friend, Roger. And we're excited today because we're going to talk a little bit about biblical counseling and Roger's D-Men program and all that he learned. And we're excited to delve into that deeply today. But before we do that, Roger, I wanted to ask you a question as we like to try and have our listeners get to know you or each of us. And here's my question for you. Roger, what is your favorite meal of the day, and what would be the ideal version of that meal for you?
Wow, that's a hard question. I think I got to go back to the authentic Middle Eastern food that family makes. There are so many different recipes, but I like just a good authentic home-cooked meal. But it's hard to choose just one. I can't do that.
Can't choose just one? Give us a few then. Like, what are we talking about? And are you talking about dinner? Are you talking about breakfast, lunch? What's your?
Why don't you ask me like my go-to restaurant? So
okay,
I just
what's
went,
your go-to okay. restaurant?
So a couple of days ago, one of my favorite places to stop by in the Valley is Saj Bakery.
Saj,
so some good food there. So I
treated. What'd you get?
This time I had sujuk menesh, and treated my coworkers to lunch there, and so
nice,
really good. But how about you? What's your favorite meal?
I have to say that there's a nice steak is always good, but. If I thought about what do I crave and desire and look forward to, it's funny you said sujuk, because for me, sujuk and eggs, which is, a Middle Eastern sausage, for those that don't know, or we call it Armenian sausage, sujuk, and eggs, and ful in the mornings. Now that's fava beans, for those that don't know, mixed with garlic and olive oil and lemon. And I think I want to go eat some right now, guys. So, breakfast with those things would be my favorite. Yeah. Well, listen, now that everyone's hungry and not going to be listening carefully anymore to what we're saying, let's jump right into it. Roger, you just completed your D-Min in the last number of months. And of course, it's a strange time to be completing that since you couldn't even go get your diploma and walk in a graduation. But can you tell us a little bit about kind of how you came about deciding to go do a D-Min, and particularly in the area of biblical counseling?
Yeah, I think, if I think back to it, I never thought I would get more education, never thought I'd do a doctrinal program. It wasn't in my plans after seminary. You know, I work outside the church, so I have a full-time job and a family. So I hadn't thought more education. I've always liked growing and learning, so I read a lot and study a lot, but formal education wasn't there. But as we were talking about biblical counseling in our church, and we went to the conference one summer, and it was biblical counseling conference on the way home, just talking about it, and you just suggesting the idea, have you ever thought of getting more training? And I never really considered, or I guess seriously considered it. You always have those thoughts, but it's like, yeah, let me think about that and talk to my wife about it, and see if that's something that I could do. I've always been interested ever since seminary days. One of my first classes on biblical counseling and intro to biblical counseling, the connections I was making between how the Word of God connects to life, all of those light bulbs started coming on. And so I took more classes. My wife ended up doing a master's in biblical counseling, and I used to go to with her and audit classes. And just, I couldn't get enough. There was just so much, and it just brought the Word of God alive to me. So focusing on that was there on my heart.
Yeah.
But I never thought I'd have the opportunity to it. So,
well, we're grateful that you did have the opportunity and that you took it. And I can say, Roger, from my perspective, for kind of selfish reasons, I was really glad that you went on for this program, because in the church, we are so desperate for counseling, for godly biblical counseling, mm-hmm. and it's been such a blessing to have you trained, prepared to help guide us through so many challenging situations. So I was glad to encourage you to go do it, and thrilled that you did it, and it fits who you are and all the gifts that you have so well. So with that in mind, Roger, why don't you kind of give us a little bit of background as to what is biblical counseling? If you can define it for us and tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, there's a lot of different definitions, and I should probably start, whenever you use the word counseling, it comes with certain connotations. Everybody has in their mind a definition and a context where they think about counseling, whether it's in a professional, usually in a professional environment. And so even using that word, counseling, can sometimes bring up thoughts in our mind. When we use the term biblical counseling and we're bringing the Bible into it, I want to use a less formal definition because I think it's helpful. And this definition came from David Powelson, and this is how he described it. Is he said, biblical counseling is, or he called it wise counseling, is essentially loving another person well. It is a way of speaking what is true and constructive into this person's life right now. Good counseling, essentially wise love in action. And just a less formal definition of biblical counseling, but you know, we talk about it in our studies that it's not are you a counselor, it's what kind of counsel are you giving to others. We're always giving advice to one another, whether it's in a formal sense or an informal sense. Mm-hmm. And the biblical counseling part brings in things that are distinct from other models of counseling. For example, being Christ-centered, having the Word of God as the foundation, having different goals of what you're trying to accomplish is what distinguishes it from other forms of counseling. And you can even say when people use the word Christian counseling, it's not always clear what that means.
So essentially, the way you're just describing it, in a sense, any Christian should be able to give this kind of counsel.
Yes. And so the distinction I would make and to be careful with is not everybody becomes a counselor, but right. Everybody gives counsel to one another. So we're all practicing that, although some are formally trained in it and have different skill set for actually fulfilling a role of a counselor.
Okay, that's a good distinction. That's helpful too. Now, with that in mind, one of the things that you have always been kind of pushing toward and wanting to see in our church is the training up of others to participate in this type of relationship counseling and whatnot. Tell us a little bit about what you wrote about for your DMIN project.
Yeah, so one of the things I wanted to really focus on was I wanted to focus on the basics and get back to how do I teach biblical counseling to another? How do I introduce biblical counseling to just leaders in our church? And that led me down the path of really wanting to focus on the heart, because one of the things you'll hear a lot in biblical counseling is talking about the heart. And so I really focused on that in my writing in both there was a theological part of the writing, and then there was a practical part in the writing. So my two major topics were looking at the centrality of the heart in biblical counseling, and then also the priority of addressing the heart in biblical counseling. Those are my two big headings. And then I add subheadings under that of what I was going to look at.
That's interesting. Distinguish those two for us. So the first one was the priority of the heart.
The centrality.
Centrality of the heart. And then the second one is addressing the heart. Okay, so tell us about the centrality of the heart. Like, what did you mean by that as you were looking at that?
Yeah, so when I pulled back and I said, how do I want to write about the heart? And I should say, first of all, you know, the heart is the core fundamental center of a human being. It's where you're thinking, where you're feeling, where your desires come from, your emotions, all that's coming out and described with this term heart. Now, of course, the Bible uses words in different ways, figuratively, literally. So we got to take that into consideration. But the primary way is talking about the inner core of a person, what makes them tick. So when I looked at the centrality, what I did is I wanted to first look at what Jesus said about the heart being the source of our behavior. Mm-hmm. So I went to Mark chapter 7 and looked at how Jesus says what comes out of our hearts. That's where our behavior is coming from. I then looked at another passage to show that the heart is directing our behavior, what we're doing. Mm-hmm. That's James chapter 4, where it talks about why are we fighting with one another? Because there's desires in of our heart that we want something. Yeah. I then looked at how Paul taught about how the heart is redeemed. We have a new heart when we're saved in 2 Corinthians 5. And then finally, how Paul talked about how there's still a war in the redeemed heart. That's Galatians 5, the flesh versus the spirit. So I wanted to try to give a picture of from you know, different places in the New Testament of how it's talking about the heart as the central part of who we are and why we're acting the way we are.
Yeah. And I mean, that's so important. Actually, the word core comes from the Latin word for heart. So you're looking at the core of the issue. You're looking at the heart of the issue, and everything we do as a church really needs to kind of be directed toward the heart issues, because that's where real transformation will occur. So tell us a little bit about the idea of addressing the heart. What was peculiar there in your discovery as you're, you know, what passages came to mind and what did you discover?
Yeah. So when I was thinking about how do we address the heart, some of my topics or my focus underneath that were, I first wanted to look at the sufficiency of Scripture. And the reason I wanted to do that is if we're going to talk about the process of change and our lives, we need to know that the Scripture is sufficient to address our lives. And so we look at passages like 1 Timothy 3:15 to 17, a familiar verse that talks about God's word, and 2 Peter 1, another a verse that talks about how he's given us all things for godliness and life. Mm-hmm. And what I did is I talked about how the sufficiency of Scripture is a framework. The Bible is not an encyclopedia, doesn't tell you everything about anything, but it gives you a framework of thinking. Because the Bible is inspired by God, inerrant and authoritative, it helps give a framework. So we have a source of truth, an objective source of truth outside of us. We're able to apply it to life, but it also teaches us what's our goal. Why? What are we counseling for? And I expressed it as it's Christ-likeness and responding in faith is the purposes and goals. But then I looked at sufficiency and I said, how does the Scripture address our hearts? Is it sufficient to tell me what's going on inside? And it's fascinating when you look at the Bible and you see that the Bible talks about your thoughts, your desires, your intentions, your actions, your emotions. It describes that experience and why that's going on. Mm. And so I one of the topics I delved into underneath that was desires. And I want to do more study on this because I think it's so fascinating how the Bible talks about our desires and reorienting those desires.
Yeah.
Not just suppressing, you know, it's not suppress my desires, but changing the direction of them.
Yeah.
And then lastly, I talked about how community, you know, we speak truth and love to one another. We have relationships that are redemptive, that help each other grow, and the priority of the gospel in our community to address really sin and suffering. You know, that's what we all experience in life. So it's my long answer to your question.
No, it's a good answer and an important answer. And it's interesting the way you phrase it at the end, you know, including the community of faith around us. Look, that's what God himself, Christ himself has given to us for our growth and sanctification. That's part of the means of grace that he's given. And the reformers understood that too. You've got the word and we say the word and sacrament. So you've got the word and this, the church coming together for the sacraments as well as for learning, for fellowship, like you're saying. So it's so important to see that we're not alone in this process of growth and sanctification. It was never meant for us to be alone. That's fascinating. And the desires, what was maybe the most interesting discovery for you as you were thinking through these things, particularly you were saying on this addressing the heart and desires, did anything just jump out at you that you said, man, I'd never thought of it that way before, and you just kind of discovered along the way?
Yeah, I think with desires, when I was reading James 4, and you see the desires of the heart, and you just see, you know, I used words like envious desires and covetous desires. You start to put an adjective in front of that, and you start to see that the Bible talks about an experience of desires in a way that shows how our heart really is. Just think every day, you know, you wake up and how often do you say, I want something. I want my day to go well. I want there to be no traffic. I want. And we're always wanting. So it's natural. God created us with desire. Desire is not the problem. Mm-hmm. It's when the desires go wayward, when they become wrong desires. And, you know, you think about even how you can have a good desire and your good desire becomes wrong when you want something too much.
Right.
That has always been challenging. When has your desire now become a sinful desire? Some have said when you want something too much, when you're willing to sin to get it. And try to help us understand. But I think it's a topic that we can't get away from. We all experience this thing inside of us that's always active. Nobody has a day where I have no desires. Everything's great. I'm content. And
we started this episode with a desire. What do we like to eat? What do we want to eat? Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
You know, you're right. Everywhere we turn, desire is a big part. And it's good to be able to distinguish, hey, it's not desire in and of itself that's bad.
Yeah.
And I think that's helpful, Roger, because one of the problems that we have, or people think, you know, a sinful way of thinking is that when the Lord doesn't allow us to have what we truly desire, you know, we'll never be satisfied, we'll never be content. But what the Lord does is he, like you said, reorders our desires because he knows that when we're desiring those wrong things, we can never be satisfied. But when he reorders our desires to the things they ought to be focused on, then we will be profoundly, deeply satisfied in him. And so desires are, it's a great topic, Roger, that you have chosen. And I hope you continue to dig into it too, as we all kind of grow together. What would you say is the reason that biblical counseling, as opposed to other versions, let's say, of counseling, but biblical counseling is important for the church today?
So I think the most helpful distinctions are why it's so important is because we can't get away from the reality that we live in a world filled with sin and suffering. We all sin and we all suffer in different ways. And we need to know how to address that and how to grow and change, you know, our whole lives of sanctification until we meet the Lord is addressed through biblical counseling. But I think what's important is biblical counseling tries to bring the Bible back to be the center and to bring Christ as the goal and, you know, Christ-likeness. It's not just changing behavior. It's not temporary goals. It's really looking at our walk with the Lord and saying, let's look for something higher. Let's bring Christ back into it. Let's bring the Bible and the teachings of the Word of God back into it. And so it's so important because we all are experiencing things that we need help with in our lives. And I like to think of it like this. Biblical counseling is just applying theology to our lives. It's practical mm-hmm. theology. Yeah. We all need that.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. And what I've always appreciated, Roger, about the way you've handled the topic is that there's, you know, sometimes people can, people have seen maybe some negative aspects of what they would have considered what is biblical counseling in the past, let's say. But you've brought a really balanced approach that really just is grounded in the Word of God and is always looking at the heart and looking at how God has remedied, God's Word is the remedy for our problems. And just how do we, you keep pushing us to apply the Word of God to our hearts. Apply the Word of God to our hearts. And this is really key. So thinking about this a little bit, what do you think is the maybe a stereotype that people have of the idea of biblical counseling that you'd like to say, okay, no, that's just not true. What do you think people say about biblical counseling that in your estimation is just bad press, not true?
Read this verse, pray, and you're good.
It's not like that. Read the two verses and call me in the morning.
Yep. As simplistic answers, I think sometimes it's characterized as you're just too simplistic. You just tell people read verses, memorize the verse, just pray a little harder, and that your problems will go away. And they, you know, make a caricature of what biblical counseling truly is meant to be.
Yeah. What about those who say that biblical counseling is just repent, repent, and repent? Is that accurate? Is that inaccurate?
I say that there can be a truth and that some people can have a bent toward only looking at the sin that a person is experiencing and forgetting that we're also suffering. And that difficulty may be because of sin, but sometimes we're suffering and it just came upon us. And if we don't look at the entire person and understand them, we could call them to something that doesn't truly connect them back to the Word of God, because it's not so simplistic to say, you're in sin right now, repent, and it's all better. I need to understand you, and I even need to understand why you're sinning. What's going on in your heart? What idols are you chasing after? What's wayward there? That needs to change before just focusing on your behavior. If all you do is change your behavior, but you have not connected closer to Christ, I haven't done true biblical counseling. I've just helped you change your behavior. I want to help you change your desires, your motives, your intentions, and then your behavior will just fall in line with that yeah. and teach you the right path forward.
Yeah. And this is all done honestly in a humble, Christ trusting way, because Christ is the one and the Spirit's the one who's going to do the real power, the work of sanctification, right? Yeah. We're just trying to give guidance and direction through the Word of God and expose as the Word exposes, but really it's Christ and his means that are going to change the hearts of people. But such an important theme, such an important topic. So speaking of hearts, And you called me out in our last episode how my heart was impacted by my PhD program. So tell us, what did you learn in the process about yourself and about your own heart as you were pursuing this DMIN in biblical counseling?
What was so good, and I shared this with you, and I joke with you about it, when I said that I think I restarted my sanctification, because when you study this topic and you look at all different types of problems that we face, you just start to see your heart in a different way. I think I started to understand, and I'm starting to scratch the surface of my own heart, of my own desires, of my own intentions and motivations, and starting to get down to the real root of my difficulties in my own sanctification, in my own life of why I do things. And it's been really helpful. It's humbling to realize, we're all struggling and wrestling. And I can't think I've arrived. Won't arrive till I'm in glory. I'm just learning more and more about myself each and every day, and it's humbling. Sometimes it's a good humbling, but it's
sure. The important thing is as we are being exposed, right, and we are being humbled, which is often a very important process. When we are exposed, it's time to turn our eyes not to ourselves, right? Yeah. Our hope is in Christ. And so we turn from that. Yes, we're exposed and, oh my goodness, woe is me in a sense. I'm a man of unclean lips living among a people of unclean lips. But then the Savior comes and he says, that's why I came. That's why I did what I did. Roger, so much to talk through. Because it's such an important topic that you studied and that you chose. And I really hope that our listeners benefited from this time. Is there anything that you want to add, any kind of last thought that you'd like to offer to us on this topic, Roger?
I think if this term is new for you, or maybe you've heard it before, to really not make too quick of a judgment on what you think biblical counseling is, and to really read. There's been a lot of work that has been done recently dealing with a lot of not newer problems people have, but really addressing the sin and suffering that we experience. And there's so much hope in God's word. Amen. God's word gives us hope for any problem we go through. It gives us a path forward, and as you say, it gives us a Savior who can help us. And so that's what biblical counseling's desire is, to help people find hope for their sin and suffering in this world. And so
that's great. And Roger, I'm going to put you on the spot and ask you to add, once we're done with this episode, if you can just add some books on our website that you think would be a great introduction, or if you want to mention one, you can mention if you want, or we can just add it on the website for our listeners to go to.
Yeah, I'll add some resources. I think David Powelson has written some great books to help. He's written one called Seeing with New Eyes, helping you understand how the scripture connects to life. And he takes passages and makes connections and gives you a different lens to think through. And I think that's a great way to start thinking about this topic.
Fantastic. Well, if you enjoyed this episode of the Rod and Staff podcast, we urge you to subscribe and share it with others. We really hope to be a resource for people, to impact lives if we can for the gospel's sake. We just want to be helping people to think through some of these really important and tough issues. So again, for more information, you could check us out at rodandstaff.org. God bless. If you enjoyed this episode of the Rod and Staff podcast, please subscribe and share with others. For more information or to contact the host with questions or comments, please send email correspondence to feedback@rodandstaff.org. That is feedback@rod, the letter N, staff.org.